Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Today we're talking about history. And no, we're not talking about ancient Chinese emperors or U.S. presidents or kings and queens of England. We're actually talking about blood transfusions,
cool.
Which is kind of an interesting subject for history, but blood transfusions do have a history.
Huh.
And I guess they weren't done in the past, and a lot of lives were lost because of a lack of blood transfusions. That means basically when you get blood from somebody when you need some. Like those, I guess they're vans or something, or trailers that are parked around.
Yeah, to donate blood.
You can go there to donate blood in case somebody needs your blood. And if they do need the blood, then they are getting a blood transfusion.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a wonderful new invention. We haven't always had it. We didn't have it even 100 years ago. So we're really grateful that we have the ability to transfuse blood. Your body needs a certain amount of blood, and if you go below that, you will die. So it's kind of nice that we can help each other out by donating blood, and that blood is stored until it needs to be used in a hospital. So let's get started. I'm kind of excited to learn more about the history behind blood transfusions. I'll read through the article, and then we'll be back. A paramedic arrives at the scene of an accident and finds that some of the victims have lost a lot of blood. They need to receive new blood via transfusion right away, as blood carries oxygen and nutrients, both of which are necessary for our cells to live. Giving someone a blood transfusion replaces lost blood and allows the body to continue functioning normally and repair itself. The earliest experiments with transfusion were carried out with animal blood. English physician Richard Lower successfully kept one dog alive by giving it another dog's blood before moving on to animal to human transfusions. The science was not well understood, though. For example, Lower gave one man sheep's blood because it was thought that the blood of a gentle lamb might make an agitated person calm. However, the man died after experiencing a fatal immune response to new blood. The biggest advance in this area of medical science came in 1901, when Austrian researcher Karl Landsteiner and his associates discovered the blood types A, B, O, and AB. Later, Landsteiner expanded this classification when he identified the Rh positive and Rh negative types. His findings explained why people have allergic reactions after being given the wrong type of blood and helped doctors know what type of blood individual patients required. Until World War I, most transfusions were done person to person, on the spot. However, it was later discovered that blood could be treated and refrigerated so that it could be stored for future use. This led to the creation of blood banks, repositories of blood from all the different types. Many people now donate their blood in order to help others. Giving blood is a good thing to do, as you never know when it might be used in a transfusion to save someone's life.
Okay, again, in our unit on history, we're going to talk about the history of blood transfusions. We kind of take them for granted now, but there was a time in the past when people could not get blood transfusions, and as I said before, probably a lot of lives were lost as a result. Now, here's a possible scenario here. A paramedic arrives at the scene of an accident and finds that some of the victims have lost a lot of blood. This can happen in accidents, a motorcycle accident, for example, and the people who work in ambulances who come to the scene of an accident and get people ready to take to the hospital, they are referred to as paramedics.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you need to have special training for that. It's not as comprehensive as medical training for to be a doctor or a nurse, but still they come there and get people on stretchers into an ambulance and get them to the hospital. And these paramedics have discovered that some of these victims have lost a lot of blood. If you're a victim, that means somebody who is suffering from some kind of situation. You're an accident victim or a victim of sexual harassment.
Or maybe someone stole your purse from you. You're a victim of theft, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly. So, theft, yes, indeed. So, yeah, you're a victim, you're suffering, and you've lost some blood. If you don't get some blood soon, you're not going to survive.
You're a goner, as Tom likes to say. Mm. Now, they need to receive new blood via transfusion right away. Now, we use transfusion in a countable way to talk about when someone receives blood that's been donated from someone else. But here we're actually talking about the process, so it doesn't have an S, via transfusion. Via just means through this particular way. Sometimes I'll hear it pronounced via. Tom and I both say via. They're both correct, but I recommend via because that's what most people say. So this is how it's done, through transfusion. And they have to get blood if they've lost a lot of blood immediately because their body needs that blood because our blood does an important function. It carries oxygen to the different cells in our body. It also carries nutrients to the cells, and these are necessary so that our cells can live, they can survive. And what they're doing is they're actually feeding the oxygen and nutrients to the organs in our body, like our heart, our brains, our lungs. These are really important for us to live. Nutrients include things that our bodies need to be healthy, like vitamin C. Also, those are some of the vitamins. We also need minerals like zinc and iron, magnesium, things like that.
Calcium, etc. Those are all nutrients, vitamins and minerals. So, yes, the blood does take all those things to different parts of your body. They are necessary for our cells to live. And giving someone a blood transfusion replaces lost blood and allows the body to continue functioning normally and to repair itself. Okay, so again, if you're a victim of an accident and you've lost a lot of blood, you're bleeding, and if they can stop the bleeding, still your body has lost a lot of blood and you need it, so then you're going to have to get some kind of blood transfusion, and then your body can continue to function or work normally, and it can also repair itself, especially if you're a victim of an accident, you've got some scrapes or some cuts and stuff like that. The blood helps you heal so the body can heal itself or repair itself.
Pretty amazing. Now, the earliest experiments with transfusion were carried out or conducted, you could say, with animal blood. Of course, with most scientific experiments, at least for medicine or the medical arena, it's usually done on animals because we don't want to kill people if we can avoid it. Now, an experiment is when scientists have a theory of what they think happens, but they need to test it. And in order to test a theory, you have to experiment or do an experiment. This is the noun form of the word. You can also use experiment as a verb. Oh, I want to experiment with this type of flour to see if I can bake better bread. Well, the earliest experiments that happened long ago were using animal blood instead of human blood.
Wow. Okay, well, usually they start with animals.
Yeah.
So they did some of these experiments, okay, scientific experiments, and they carried them out or conducted them with the blood of animals. Now, let's go to England. Here we've got a physician. That's just a fancy way of calling someone a doctor, a physician. His name was Richard Lower, and he successfully kept one dog alive by giving it another dog's blood. before moving on to animal-to-human transfusions. Okay, so he started by doing it dog-to-dog. Mm-hmm. Maybe some dog got attacked by some wild animal, a fox or something in England, or got hit by a falling meteorite, or who knows what happened, got run over by an Aston Martin or something like that. The dog was in pain. It lost a lot of blood, so the doctor found another dog and said, okay, we're going to give this injured dog a blood transfusion. I'm going to give this injured dog blood from a healthy dog, and that actually saved the dog's life. So he did that first, dog to dog or animal to animal, but later on he moved on to some experiments involving animal to human transfusions.
Good thing those two dogs had the same type of blood, which they didn't understand yet at that point in history. Now, the next sentence says, the science was not well understood, though. Like I just said, they really didn't understand that there are actually different blood types, which is very important. For example, Lower, that's the doctor's name, he gave one man sheep's blood from a sheep, because it was thought back then, they had this theory that, oh, if you're kind of upset and going a little crazy, if we just give you the blood from a sweet, gentle lamb, that's a baby sheep, it will calm you down. What a crazy idea.
It's
but
interesting, huh?
You know what? We've learned a lot over the past hundred years or so. He gave him sheep's blood, of course, which killed the man immediately, right?
Yep, that's what happened. He was an agitated person. He was probably really nervous all the time. He was constantly worrying about stuff. So they thought, well, if we give him some blood from a gentle sheep, maybe he will mellow out. Hmm. Maybe he will calm down.
Well,
maybe he will chill. But, of course, that's not what happened. I suppose maybe some people were thinking, hey, I really want to make a killing on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I get a blood transfusion from a wolf or something, or a bear or some aggressive creature or a shark or something, I will make a lot of money on
That's
Wall
crazy.
Street. But you just can't do that. The
No.
blood of an animal is different to the blood of a human being. So it does say here, however, but the man died after experiencing a fatal immune response to new blood. Immune here just refers to how your body protects itself. It has white blood cells,
mm-hmm.
and antibodies that fight things that come in, like viruses or
bacteria
stuff
yeah.
like that. So this was a fatal immune response. The immune system went, whoa, what is this sheep blood doing in here? There's too much of that stuff. We can't handle it. You're a goner. And the victim, of course, punched out, died, cashed in his chips, bought the farm, croaked.
Very sad. Okay, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a few minutes, and then we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天首先来看到在第一段的第一个空格前面的句子提到 They need to receive new blood via transfusion right away, as blood carries oxygen and nutrients, both of which are necessary for our cells to live. 在这里提到当有人车祸受伤还需要透过 transfusion 输血来能够获得新的血液重点就是因为血液里面有这个 oxygen 氧气以及 nutrients 以及养分它对我们细胞的生存都是非常重要的延续这样的文意第一题我们可以选择的是 C 选项 Sentence C 里面提到 Giving someone a blood transfusion replaces lost blood and allows the body to continue functioning normally and repair itself在这里提到呢如果能够帮一个人输血就可以替换他那已经失去的血液而且可以让他的身体功能再一次的恢复正常的运作并且有修补的功能在这里后面提到的 to continue functioning normally and repair itself 就可以回应前面句子后面所提到的 for ourselves to live, 让细胞活下去，身体当然就可以正常的运作了。所以第一题的标准答案我们就选择 C 选项。第二段用来说明最早的书写的实验是用动物的血，然后后来才转换到从动物到人类的身体上的书写。第二个空格该填什么呢？我们可以看一下后面的句子。第二个空格后面的句子提到 For example, Lower gave one man sheep's blood because it was thought that the blood of a gentle lamb might make an agitated person calm.非常有趣的，当时呢，那医生则是认为，如果我把这个羔羊的血输给了性格焦躁不安的人，也许可以让他冷静下来。所以在这里第二题，我们来看到后面句子就可以回想，我们可以选择 Sentence D。 那么在这里 Sentence D 里面提到 The science was not well understood though，当时呢，这样子的科学并不被人类完全的理解，才会发生有后面句子用羊的血输给一个焦躁不安的人。所以第二题的标准答案我们就选择 D 选项。延续这样子的文意，第三个空格我们可以选择 Sentence A。 Sentence A 里面提到 However, the man died after experiencing a fatal immune response to new blood. 可是想而知，把羔羊的血输到人的身上，这个人在经历过一个致命的免疫的严重反应之后，当然也就死亡了。所以根据文意，第三题的标准答案我们就选择 A 选项。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to talk more about blood transfusions and how we have them today. Kind of cool.
The time has now come for us to continue our lesson. We're talking about the history of blood transfusions, and we're talking about the work of English physician Richard Lower. He saved one dog by giving it a transfusion from another dog, but when he tried to give a man sheep's blood to kind of calm him down, it did not work. There was a fatal immune response. The guy passed away.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess the doctor there was probably sued by the man's family.
No, they didn't sue back then.
Well, they were probably still pretty upset.
Maybe they killed him, though.
Could be, yeah. They could have run him out of town or something.
Who knows?
They could have lynched him or something. Who knows?
But no, they didn't know. They didn't know what killed him.
Yeah, they're probably pretty cool about it. But in any case here, let's move on now to another advance in the area of blood transfusion. We're going to Austria now. That's the country south of Germany in Europe there. The biggest advance in this area of medical science came in 1901 when Austrian researcher Karl Landsteiner, or maybe Landsteiner?
Landsteiner.
That's probably how you say it auf Deutsch.
Yes.
And his associates discovered the blood types A, B, O, and AB. Okay. So this is Karl Landsteiner and his associates. Those are people working with him. Associate is not the same as your assistant. Your assistant is somebody who is lower in rank than you. They help you, but somebody who is of equal standing, equal rank is your associate. We've got some other researchers there, other doctors, and they discovered these different kinds of blood types. I kind of wish they hadn't. Because if they had not,
why?
Because so many people in Taiwan ask me what my blood type is.
Oh, yeah.
That is a very popular question here. Most Americans don't really know their blood type. We don't really pay much attention to
that. We don't use it for dating purposes, that's for sure.
But here it's very important, so you got to know your blood type.
Yeah.
Actually, one time I actually went to donate blood just so I could know what my blood type was.
Oh, I'm A positive.
Yeah, me too. I think that's one of the most common types.
We're very common. That's right.
My wife is AB, though, so that's a little uncommon.
My dad is the royal common. O. If
Ooh.
You're O, everyone wants your blood because you can donate to any of the blood types. So, of course, my dad feels very superior, very special.
Can you make money from that if you have O type
I guess
blood?
If you sold your blood all the time, my dad does it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if somebody really rich needed a blood transfusion of type O and they couldn't get it, I'd probably charge him a pretty penny for that. But nobody wants A positive. That's pretty run of the mill, pretty common.
We're boring, here. Yeah.
We're boring, but in any case here, he later expanded this classification when he identified the Rh positive and Rh negative types. Okay, so that's another classification. I don't know if people here in Taiwan use that as an indicator of personality or, you know, something you need to know if you want to date somebody. Rh, I think that means rhesus or something like that.
It's the name of the person who discovered it. Or maybe the name, it looks like a last name to me, Reese, which is German. If you expand something, guys, you make it bigger, you make it larger. So he made the classification even more large or detailed, you could say. A classification is the way that you group things, how you decide what belongs to which group. Classify is the verb. Classification is the noun. He identified Rh positive and Rh negative types. Has to do with whether you have a type of protein that's on a red blood cell. If you have a protein on your red blood cells, you're Rh positive. And if you don't, you're negative. His findings explained why people have allergic reactions after being given the wrong type of blood. So you got to be careful. If you're allergic to something, your body rejects it. It doesn't like it. It's uncomfortable. If you're allergic to dogs like I am, if you're around dogs, you'll start coughing and sneezing. Your eyes might start watering and getting itchy. A reaction is how would you describe reaction, Tom?
It's how you react, basically. What you do in response to something else.
There you go.
Okay, so that's your reaction.
How you respond, huh?
Yeah, if your boss tells you, sorry, we've talked about it, and you're fired. That would be a very sad reaction if you're told that you are fired.
Yeah.
Or if your boyfriend told you he's got a new girlfriend or something, you might have... Well, you might actually have a happy reaction. Great! That's an easy way to get rid of this guy. But, yeah, you can have different kinds of reactions. In this case, you're having an allergic reaction. Your skin might have rash. You might start sneezing. Your eyes might start watering or something. If you're given the wrong type of blood, the blood type or the Rh factor, if those are not right, you're going to have some kinds of reactions
to
that.
Yeah, but it can be deadly, so you got to be careful.
You got to make sure that you're getting the right kind of blood. And this all helps doctors know what type of blood individual patients required. Individual just means one by one.
Yeah, you're considered separately from the group, from other people. Now, until World War I, most transfusions were done person to person on the spot. So if you needed blood, they'd try to find somebody who was like standing right by you or in the neighborhood, and they could do it with you two together right there. But nowadays, I don't even know who gets my blood when I donate blood because it goes into a refrigerator and it waits there until someone needs it. But if you do something on the spot, you do it without waiting, it's right there, you're in person.
That's right, on the spot. But it was later discovered, however, that blood could be treated and refrigerated so that it could be stored for future use. So they had to treat it somehow. Maybe they needed to
clean it,
yeah. Or maybe put some preservatives in there or something.
I don't know.
Who knows? But they needed to treat. You can't just put it straight in the refrigerator. You got to treat it first to do something to it. And to refrigerate means to simply lower its temperature in a refrigerator so that it can be preserved longer. You usually refrigerate your leftovers so that you can eat them later or feed them to your dog or whatever. Refrigerate is the verb here. The machine is a refrigerator. And yes, indeed, so that in order to store it for future use so that someone can use it in the future.
So this led to the creation or the invention of what we call blood banks. It's a place where we keep blood that's been cleaned and is ready to be used by someone who has lost blood in a transfusion. A repository is a place where you keep large quantities of something. So it's like a storage place, a repository. Repositories of blood are these blood banks, and they keep blood of different types. Many people now donate their blood in order to help others. We see blood donations rise or increase when we see emergencies or accidents. When there was a big shooting in America, terrorist shooting, we had a lot of blood donations that happened so that people could receive blood quickly in that particular city. Now, giving blood is a good thing to do. It's a great thing to do, actually, because you never know when it might be used in a transfusion to save someone's life, maybe even save someone in your family. I once donated blood for my sister who was having some blood issues. All of us donated blood, but even though she has 7 brothers and sisters, they only wanted my dad's blood,
Ooh.
Which they said was superior.
Okay, and I'm sure he gloated
oh, yes.
at that.
He still brags
See,
about it.
See, they like my blood,
See?
Not yours.
I so, eat yeah. healthy food, kids, so I have better blood. That's what he told us.
Okay, well, that might have some kind of relationship there. But again, I was going to say here in Taiwan, there is a large number of motorcycle accidents,
yeah.
so it's probably a good idea to give blood whenever you get the chance. And it's good karma, you know, your religious superior or whatever will probably give you some good points if you give blood, and you'll have a good life next life after you die from this one. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
接着在第三段的一纲开始提到 The biggest advance in this area of medical science came in 1901.When Austrian researcher Karl Landsteiner and his associates discovered the blood types A, B, O, and AB. 当然咯，在这一项领域当中，医学的最大的进展，我们用 advance 这里当作名词，有进步进展的意思，发生于1901年。When 是一个时间副词。来补充说明在当时呢有一名奥地利的研究员他跟他的同事发现了有这样子不同的血型延续这样子的文意第四题我们可以选择 F 选项 Later, Landsteiner expanded on this classification when he identified the Rh positive and Rh negative types除了血型有四种不相同的之外稍后呢他持续这样子的种类的分类又发现了 Rh 阴性以及 Rh 阳性这两种血型的不同所以第四题搭配前面的句意我们标准答案选择 F 选项第五个空格我们来看一下前面的句子写着However, it was later discovered that blood could be treated and refrigerated so that it could be stored for future use. 在当时呢，第一次世界大战以前，输血都是当场人对人来实行的。Later, 到后来才发现，其实血液可以被处理、冷藏，重点就在于要 stored for future use, 为了未来使用可以把它储存起来延续这样的文意第五题我们就可以选择 B 选项 Sentence B 里面提到 This led to the creation of blood banks repositories of blood from all the different types 而这样的想法就导致了后来有所谓的血型血库的诞生Blood banks, 而什么叫做 blood banks, 它也就能够储藏呢来自各种不同类型的血型。Repository 则是有储存室或者是容器的意思。所以第五题的标准答案就选择 B 选项。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。 Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you learned a lot about the history behind blood transfusions. Kind of cool. And we hope you'll join us soon for English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.